Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday mornings to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. And as you listen, if you think of someone who would benefit from hearing this, please pass it along to them. Well, have you ever been at a church or worked in a business or maybe even in your community when the decision is made to expand some part of the property? And this expansion will impact a sacred cow of some kind. You know, sacred cows. Maybe something like a favorite meeting room that was named after a founding member or the founding president of the organization will have to be torn down for the expansion to happen. That's a sacred cow. Maybe the tennis court that's been used for generations will need to be plowed under for the expansion. Oh, I was part of a church that went through that. Ooh, that was bad. Maybe the little gazebo that's been the backdrop for decades of weddings will need to be removed for the expansion to happen. If you've been a part of anything like that, you know the outcry that can happen when sacred cows like these are threatened, when things or symbols become more important than the purpose or people behind them. Putting an improper emphasis on sacred cows can split churches, split businesses, and sadly can split even families. I think all of us have probably been a part of, or at least we know, of situations like this. And you know, in a sense, the problem of sacred cows is what Paul addresses next in his letter to the Roman Christians. Now, after addressing the harm in chapter 1 of moral relativism with its anything-goes mindset, and then the wisdom of using godly discernment, but not judging others in the early parts of chapter 2, Paul now wants to warn these new Christians, and us for that matter, about putting an improper emphasis on their previous religious traditions and symbols. Paul is fully aware of the fact that these new Roman Christians, these new believers, are a combination, a mix of some Jews and some Gentiles. And that the Jews, with all their history and ceremonies and symbols, were tempted to act as if they were superior to the Gentiles. One symbol in particular that the Jews used to hold as superior was that for generations, God had set the Jews apart and had used the act of circumcision of their men as a sign of God's favor. The Jews held this in such high regard that they used to disparage the Gentiles by disrespectfully referring to them as those uncircumcised ones. You could just hear the disdain dripping from their every word, uncircumcised. It was a huge put down. And Paul here is warning the Jewish Christians that God never intended circumcision to make the Jews better than anyone, but rather to point out that the Jews, that God had a special assignment for the Jews, and that circumcision was simply an outward symbol of what God really wants from them and from all of us, which is the circumcision of our hearts to Him alone through the Spirit. Cutting away of the bad in our hearts. He wants all of us to have that type of circumcision, not the outward. Paul writes about this in Romans 2, starting in verse 28. He writes, "A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God." You know, Paul warned that being circumcised did not make one sinless. For all are sinners. No one is perfect, neither Jew nor Gentile. As Max Lucado writes in his book, In the Grip of Grace, he writes this on page 41. Rather than see circumcision as a sign of submission, the Jews had come to see it as a sign of superiority. With time, they began to trust the symbol more than the Father. And Paul shatters this illusion by proclaiming in Romans 2, 28 and 29, true circumcision is not only on the outside of the body. A person is a Jew only if he's a Jew inside. True circumcision is done in the heart by the Spirit, not by the written law. Such a person gets praise from God rather than people. And then he finishes up with this. Paul's point is crucial. Circumcision was symbolic. Its purpose was to show what God had already done. What he had already done. So what symbols might we treat as sacred cows, as more important than what Jesus did in our hearts? What about baptism? Do we put more emphasis on baptism than we do on the posture of the person's heart toward the Savior? What about communion? Do we put more emphasis on how we partake of it, when we partake of it, what we call it, who serves it? Is it real wine or Welch's? Is the symbol of it more important than the one who gave his life for our salvation? I imagine we all would say, of course not. We know symbols are not substitutes for our relationship with Jesus. That is, until someone comes along with plans to demolish the widow's flower garden. Oh boy, those sacred cows. Well, as Max Lucado writes in his book on page 43, he writes, please understand, symbols are important. Some of them, like communion and baptism, illustrate the cross of Christ. They symbolize salvation. They demonstrate salvation, even articulate salvation, but they do not impart salvation. He goes on, putting your trust in a symbol is like claiming to be a sailor because you have a tattoo, or claiming to be a good husband because you have a ring, or claiming to be a football player because you have a letter jacket. Do we honestly think, he asks, that God would save his children based upon a symbol? Hogwash, he writes. Our God is abundant in love and steadfast in mercy. He saves us not because we trust in a symbol, but because we trust in the Savior. Yes, we trust in the name of Jesus. As Acts 4:12 affirms, salvation exists in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. No symbol, no pedigree, no religious training, no sacred cows, only the name of Jesus. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you know someone who would benefit from hearing this podcast, please pass it along to them. And if you would like to participate in our weekly live First Things First tele-Bible study time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.